Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is a day that is about democracy. Small d. And don't go, oh, they're talking about this highfalutin. No. We're going to talk about real reforms to make sure that our democracy, our local governments, to our state governments, and certainly at the federal level, actually are working for you. And yes, you, I'm talking to you Republicans as well. It should work for everybody. And that means that our voices actually have to matter to elected officials. We're going to talk about corruption as well. We got two new special guests joining us. I'm going to bring them on in just a second. But my friend T.R. Edwards of Law Forward, you were trying to make a complete thought before we had to rush to break. So, sir, I know you got to go very shortly, but I'll give you the floor. I want you to get your entire thought out there.
Okay, sure. So at baseline, in a 50-50 state, it really doesn't make sense, frankly, that 75% of our seats in the House of Representatives are controlled by one party. But getting beyond that, right, there was an entrenchment that happened in 2011. So going back a bit, there was an entrenchment that happened back then that we believe represents an anti-competitive gerrymander. So even beyond the partisan aspect of it, which is egregious in its own way, the idea of creating a system where not only are the seats partisan gerrymandered, but even within the districts themselves, there's almost no ability for someone from the other party to have any say in who actually gets elected. That leads to greater polarization. It leads to, as Maggie said earlier, people who are less engaged and active in our democracy. Because again, why would I participate? Particularly if I have an idea that's outside of the mainstream, why would I participate in a political sphere that doesn't actually embrace me? So we also found through our research that the median, so this is half or more than this, over 30% difference in the actual election. So whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, there's a 30% margin that you win by in our state elections, in our congressional elections since 2011. So that gives you an idea of kind of how you can lead to this fracture and fissure that leads to people being less engaged. So with that, we filed a suit in the Dane County Circuit Court called Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy versus WEC, where we're challenging the makeup of our maps as an anti-competitive gerrymander. So while we do believe there may be aspects of a partisan gerrymander as well, something distinct happened, especially compared to the process that our state legislative maps took, where there was a specific and intentional effort to actually create less competition and make sure that the incumbents were protected in that most recent election. And then in 2022, under the lease change framework, when new maps were adopted, even though they were governor's maps, because they were under that lease change, which is now gone bye-bye, because they were under that lease change, they carried forward a lot of that intent from 2011. And now we're
that in a anti-competitiveness. Fight to change that. And this is, listen, I threw a little bit of shade last week at a state elected official in Wisconsin because my question was, hey, you run in a royal blue district every year, or excuse me, every, I forget what the Senate cycle is.
It's four for the Senate.
You run in a royal blue district. Don't come out here and give me the like progressive talking points and go, all this is doable. You have no downside risk. That is absurd. TR, I know you got to go. My friend, say hello to your beautiful wife for me. You take care. I will see you soon. Thank you for fighting for democracy. Folks, if you're just joining us today, is how we are going to save our democracy. I got Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with me, and we are very pleased to bring on Cedric Payne, the vice president of the Campaign Legal Center, and Elizabeth Schimmick, the senior legal counsel, also with the Campaign Legal Center. Welcome to you both. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to just jump right on in, Cedric. The Supreme Court has told us that money equals speech, which every regular American that earns a paycheck, right, and doesn't have a trust fund knows is garbage. How do we fix that problem?
You're right to start right there because that's one of the biggest problems we have. If everyone thinks that they can contribute to an election the same way they can talk about it, then you think there's an unlimited amount of money that you can give to the system. But we are seeing that that concept just does not work. And Beth works on this as the expert who deals with this most often. So I turn it over to her to talk about this big problem that we're having.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's truly so good to be here, Maggie and Nick. As we've already mentioned a little bit, Citizens United, I think a lot of people are familiar with, really opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate spending in our elections, led to the creation of super PACs, where, you know, here in Wisconsin, I live and work out of Sun Prairie, so I get all the same ads that you guys do every election season. When Citizens United kind of opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate money, unlimited big spending, it created a lot of problems, particularly around transparency, where we have all of these dark money, secret spending outfits, these wealthy special interests that are really trying to influence people's votes without actually disclosing where their money comes from or what their interests are. And there are a lot of really interesting solutions that different states are experimenting with. Certainly happy to get into that if you guys have questions. But it has really become the theme of elections in the US and in the states individually, where I think the Brennan Center did some research and saw that last cycle we reached a record high of $1.9 billion spent just on federal elections when it comes to that independent spending. That's not even looking at state by state.
Imagine all the badger care that could buy. You know what I'm saying?
Or
little
Costco
emergency, little emergency food assistance. I'm sorry, Beth, I interrupted you. Please continue.
No. It's true. When you look at the amount of spending that's happening, I think a lot of people look at that and think, what else could we be doing with that money? And really, who is served by all of this spending that's happening? You know, who really benefits from our airwaves just being flooded with these billions of dollars of ads every 2 to 4 years? It's incessant. But that's where, you know, a lot of states are looking at different kinds of reforms that help to, you know, make sure voters have their right to know who's spending to influence them. That's actually a different part of Citizens United, was the court saying in 8-1 part of the decisions, that's 8 justices agreed, a pretty rare thing these days. Even if corporate interests have a right to speak, have the right to spend as much as they want, voters also have a First Amendment right to know who is spending. Dark money doesn't have to be dark. And that's where states like Arizona are really taking the lead. Prop 211, which passed in 2022,
yes,
that's the Voters' Right to Know Act is the actual official title. They looked at the system where, you know, in most states, when you have these big money groups spending, you might see, you know, paid for by Americans for America. And then when they file their report.
I'm sorry, it's like the what of the what? Like, we're good people, Inc. Wow. You have no idea.
Yeah, it's these names that mean nothing to the average person. And you can go and look at their reports and they might say, you know, here are our immediate donors. It gets Corporation C, Pass-Through, LLC B, and a couple individuals. But that doesn't give us a lot of information about where that money's coming from, particularly when we know that sophisticated wealthy special interests are using different shell games to hide that. So what Arizona did is they passed this innovative new law, the Voters' Right to Know Act. 72% of Arizonans in purple Arizona passed that law, which I think is really speaks to the interest people have in daylight in our campaign finance system. So anyway, Arizona passed this. And what it does is it doesn't just look at the immediate donors. It looks at the chain of donations. So say if I, wealthy special
That's
interest,
sexy.
Public interest lawyer, had $1 million and I don't like armadillos in Arizona, I might, you know, seed my funding through this group and that group, a little bit here, a little bit there, with the wink, wink, nudge, nudge that I want it all to end up in Arizona to spend on the Exterminate Armadillos Act. That wouldn't have been known before, but with Prop 211, it looks at these big sources of election spending and it says, you know, if you're going to spend this big money in our state, you have to reveal not just the immediate donor, but look at all the people that these big amounts of money pass through and aggregate it all the way to the back and file a report so people can know that this wasn't funded by Arizonans. This wasn't, you know, based on our interests in, you know, the state of Arizona. It was based on Beth Shimek in Wisconsin, who just really hates armadillos.
Well, we've got, and that we've really got, you know, turns the on Elon the money and the and them. The loop and the loophole in Wisconsin law, which was done under Governor Walker and the GOP-controlled legislature, where unlimited money can be given to the parties within the state, which, again, just another loophole. So you got dark money, and then you just dump it all into the parties, and they spend it. Nick, I know you had a question for
us. Oh, yeah. And Beth, you know, I want to, again, I mean, we get the opportunity to speak to an expert like you, so I'm very grateful. And one of the things I'm thinking about is we're coming off the heels of this record, again, record spending Supreme Court race where it was over $100 million. And we're talking about the solutions, but why are we here in this situation right now? I mean, like, I think Maggie was starting to allude to some of the, you know, loopholes and things, but like, I want to just give folks out there that might not be so in tuned, you know, a little bit of the landscape as to why it's the Wild West when it comes to campaign finance. And then, you know, when we get time talking about what are some real solutions that could be applied to Wisconsin to try and fix this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start with kind of why we're here when it comes to our Supreme Court races. So I think a lot of people are already aware, but maybe in the current election cycle, it doesn't feel that way. Wisconsin's judicial races are nonpartisan races. They're not supposed to be about party. They're supposed to be about the principles of people who we are electing to interpret our laws, to hand down justice in our state.
Because judges have to be impartial.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that becomes a question when, you know, we see Citizens United made it possible for people to spend all this money independently. What does that mean in the context of our elections? I think when we see all this big money coming in, when we see political parties picking favorites, it raises a lot of questions for people in Wisconsin about, you know, can my judge, my justice, really provide unbiased justice when someone who might have a case come before them was able to spend a bunch of money to support their campaign, and that's known. So Wisconsin actually did at one point have one of my favorite solutions when we look at this kind of issue in judicial races. In 2009, we actually had a public campaign financing program for our judges. Now, that was repealed in 2011, but the way public campaign financing works is candidates can opt in and they receive government money. There are a lot of different models, but for judges, typically, it's just a lump sum of government money based on a certain amount of support.
It's so important.
I can come back
and
to
that,
this.
Yeah, and that model has been used successfully in many other countries.
Yes.
And also, and how about this states one? This is another good one. Limit the window in which the money can be spent.
Wow.
If there's any of it, right? Wow. Like, less campaigning? I think we'd all sign up for that. When we come back, we're going to talk corruption with Cedric Payne. More about reforms with Elizabeth Shimek, both of the campaign, Legal Center, and of course, my friend Nick Ramos. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.